With the NowJobs app, you're only 3 clicks away from a new student worker. Let us introduce you to the NowJobs app. That's extra help in just a few clicks. No fuss, no administration. Download it now. Available in Belgium, the Netherlands, France, and soon in Germany.
NowJobs, get the job done.
Ka-ching!
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese podcast.
Oh, yeah. Three guys forever suffering from a total eclipse of the heart. You are listening to the Chad and Cheese podcast as Europe. I'm your co-host, Joel Dusseldorf Cheeseman.
This is Chad, turnaround, bright eyes, so wash.
And I'm leaving not interested in your stupid eclipse. Funny when I was in.
And on this episode, job and talent goes west, orgnostic gets amped up, and final thoughts from the e-recruitment conference. Let's do this.
European. Talent. Intelligence. What does it mean? Imagine a world where it's easier for you to find and know your target group. Where it's easier to recruit and attract the talent you need from a European talent pool. Every year, thousands of corporate recruiters, HR departments, and intermediaries rely on Intelligence Group to make that dream a reality. Intelligence Group is the European market leader in recruitment talent intelligence. With innovative dashboards and tailor-made research in 28 European countries. It is our job to empower you as a state-of-the-art, data-driven recruitment business partner. Recruiting with data is great. Recruiting with Intelligence Group is better. Learn more about our services at intelligence-group.nl. Intelligence Group, market leader in European talent intelligence.
Was it because you were not in the path of totality?
He was left
leaving?
Out.
Are you jealous? Were you left out? Huh?
I kept staring at the sun. I didn't see one eclipse at all. So it was fake news. No eclipse. It doesn't exist.
You pulled a Trump and stared at the sun all day. That's not healthy, leaving. Not healthy.
Yeah. I read about it. Indeed, Trump. The glasses were too woke for Trump or something.
Yeah,
you shouldn't wear them.
I have a theory that you and Kebu were hanging out in Finland. That's my
more than
that's
likely.
That's my theory.
I think in Finland it's still dark.
The Northern Lights or something.
Something else than your stupid eclipse. Northern Lights.
Bitter today. Look, this. So we've got Chad's on the cusp of Euro Chad. He's on cloud nine, riding
also
high.
Also, neon Chad. See this?
Yeah, it's nice. I didn't even see it. Damn.
Freshly shorn Chad. And cool. Levin's in all black as usual.
This is navy blue. I said it before. Navy
midnight
blue.
He's still auditioning for Sprockets.
What is Sprockets? Do I want to know what Sprocket is?
You don't know Sprockets?
I don't know Sprockets. No.
I don't know if you can get SNL
Saturday
clips
Night
on
Live.
YouTube out in Europe.
Oh, I think you can.
Can
I think
you
can get Sprockets. The Sprockets, yeah. Touch my monkey.
Yeah, if you search Sprockets SNL from the 90s.
Most definitely not touch our monkey.
An old German. Old German.
Shout out!
Chad, what you got?
I'm going to give a shout out to European wages, and this is what I mean. So a study came out and showed pretty much what every European country was getting paid, you know, from top to bottom. I'm not going to go through all of those. Actually, I want to compare them to the U.S. Luxembourg is 47 euros, 20 per hour.
Party in Luxembourg,
47,
baby.
20. Yes, it's an average. It's an average. And then the highest paid state in the United States is, and I did today's conversion, is 34.25 euro. So we're talking about a pretty huge discrepancy. 47.20 to 35.25. Those are the highs in both. So there are five European countries that are above Massachusetts' salary per hour rate. Belgium being one of those, leaving. There are 10 European countries that are above 30 euro salary per hour or dollars per hour rate, which is $32 an hour for all you Americans that are listening.
Taxachusetts is the highest.
Taxachusetts.
Getting paid.
I'm gonna take that shout out into the gutter with my next shout out. So, Chad, you and I grew up in the 70s, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna assume that you were at least at one truck stop in your youth.
Jesus, sticky floor.
If you were in a truck stop gas station bathroom in the 70s and you were a child, you got some sex ed. You got the coin slotted French tickler. You learned that condom it had to machine. Be ribbed for her pleasure.
French tickler. Nice.
Those are gone. I haven't seen any of those for decades. But thankfully, Germany, these coins, these coin operated sex machines are still a thing. So let me read you some of the products in a German. I think this was Dusseldorf that I was visiting. You've got the Billy Boy, which is a condom, I think. You've got the Love Ring Vibro.
Of course, that's a classic.
Oh, I don't know if the batteries come with it or you got to like put the batteries in separately, but that was fun. You had a minute.
you just move it by hand.
Mini vibrator, and you had the I'll mispronounce this, but the D. Kunststika vagina, which is the travel vagina. So it's a party in a German bathroom. I didn't have to go to a truck stop for this. It was just in a regular city square bathroom. So shout out to the Deutschland bathrooms. A lot of fun.
Yeah, you don't see that in puritanic America.
You used to. Back when America was great, you could have the French tickler.
Only in truck stops. Only in truck stops.
The hubs of commercial success, truck stops. Top that one, Levin.
I've never seen them, so I think I don't frequent the places you do, Joel, not even when in Dusseldorf. No. But I don't feel like I'm missing a lot.
Don't play coy with me, Levin.
Okay. I have to admit it. I have one in my room.
Guy's got a treehouse in his backyard telling me.
That's right. In fact, it's a tree mansion. We call it the tree mansion because the house is so common. Okay, the house of commons, you know. Anyways, Chet, you were talking about those wages. Mm-hmm. Did you know in Belgium we have something called the automatic wage indexing system?
Did not.
This is actually pretty cool. So the moment the life cost is increasing, then the wages are indexed automatically. So people in Belgium will always have the same buying power. That is the whole idea. So the moment there is some kind of a price index, and when, let's say, you go to the grocery store and you put all these things in your baskets, the moment the price on average is going above a certain limit, everyone's wages are indexed by 5%, 3%, whatever. So last year, with we had to index wages five times in 1 year.
Wow.
Because everything was getting so expensive because of the crisis in Ukraine, and people got a salary raise five times in 1 year.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. So that's why we have the highest wages, I think, in Europe, next to Luxembourg, which isn't a country at all, so they don't account them. But that's why I'm just happy to educate you, American bumpkins.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay, my shout out goes to the German unions. For the first time in my life, I'm giving a shout out to the unions.
Oh, wow.
And why? Because they were the first to get on the barricades and defend robots' rights to take a day off. And this actually is a fact. So the German court rules, robots must take Sundays off.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb, for real.
So the union fundamentally opposes Sunday shopping, arguing that retail staff needs Sunday as a guaranteed day off to spend time with family and friends. Yeah, and there was a retailer in Germany who had a totally automated mini shop chain. He hadn't, no one was working for him at all. And he had to close down his automated shops on Sunday because of the robots. So he had to... They needed the day off too, and the union triggered the whole legal battle, and the court followed it. So, shout out to the unions for protecting the rights of the robots.
That's right. And then on Sundays, you can't even get them maintained because nobody's allowed to work. So, I mean, you know, it'd be different if you could have maintenance on that day.
No, if you ran out of Coke in the autumn in the vending machine, then nobody is allowed to put a new one in.
Yeah.
I wonder what they do with the bakeries on Sunday. Probably it's allowed.
Yeah, I would hope.
Should be.
I would hope. We all need a good croissant.
Yeah, of course, but not in Germany. You got Kaiser bread.
Kaiser bread, yeah.
What do you think Scotland will do about the robots, Chad? Anything?
They'll abuse them, probably.
Yeah, whatever it is, I'm sure it'll be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to all things Scottish. Our slogan is, if it's no Scottish, it's crap!
So some quick travel. We just got back from Amsterdam not too long ago, but Chad and I will be headed to Scotland in May for a little Scotch / interview / exciting conversations with exciting Scottish startups. And then don't forget Wreckfest in July.
That's right.
Allegedly, a Cole Cheeseman spotting will be year number two in the making.
Our equipment pack mule, yes.
And sneak in chugs of beer while I'm not looking.
Beer? More like whiskey. He was drinking everything.
They're listening, Chad.
That kid was drinking everything.
They're listening, Chad. Don't say anything. All right, kids. Job and Talent experienced substantial growth in the U.S. market in 2023. Revenue came in at $450 million. That's a 22% increase year on year. And the U.S. became the company's largest and fastest growing market, as well as its most profitable in 2024. In 2024, Job and Talent plans to further expand its market share in the U.S. by rolling out a revamped product suite aiming to transform the interactions between businesses and workers. Chad, your thoughts on the growth of Job and Talent?
Well, Joel, I've got to bring up that back in May of 2022, you pondered whether Job and Talent would be all in on the U.S. regional strategy and then, leaving laughed at us because they were considered a region, or if they were just playing a little game of just the tip. I think we can say that they're all in. There's no question. But you also said that coming to America would be a disaster for them. It hasn't seemed to turn out that way. The U.S. job market right now is booming in all the shift work arenas, which is exactly where Job and Talent plays. I've said it on several podcasts prior to this one, not just about Job and Talent, but the staffing company industry the staffing company that Uberizes shift work wins. Job and Talent is still small and startup-y enough to be nimble while the Adeccos and Randstads are way too slow and lethargic. They just can't, they can't do something like this. They're just way too damn big. But what Uber is doing for rides and eats, Job and Talent is doing for a multitude of different jobs. And where Job and Talent are flourishing is around high volume jobs. So if you're in need of a new gig, or just some extra cash, you can search for jobs near you, which everybody does on Google, review the hourly rate, watch videos of the tasks you're going to be performing at that job, and then apply. And as it says on the website, quote, no resume required, just answer some simple questions in our app and get the job. Plus, you get paid in the damn app. So this is the future of shift work. And Job and Talent announcement of 22% year-over-year growth last year and generating $450 million in revenue feels like just the start. I'm waiting to see which companies try to buy these guys and or emulate. This is a big kudos. Not many companies come to the U.S. and do well. You even see companies who are already in the U.S. like Job.com who said they want to do this. And they're having problems, rumor mill says, even making payroll right now. Yeah, big kudos to Job and Talent.
Yeah.
$450 million.
So you're going to call me out like that on the podcast, Chad. That's not cool. That's not cool.
It's all about history. It's history.
Yeah. So look, so far, so good. And when you get $1.3 billion in investment, you should be able to grow and come to a new country. These guys have been around since 2009. You've got organic growth and you've got immense investment into this company. So you kind of have the best of both worlds there for them, which is nice. The thing that they did right, though, is that this country needs hourly workers and gig workers. 76 million workers were paid on hourly rates last year. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people.
Yes.
And whether they knew this or not coming in, it's an election year. And it's looking like whichever party gets in, there's going to be a border thing. There's going to be a closing or deportation, depending on who gets in. And you know what that means? That means even fewer workers than there already are to do hourly positions. So job and talent, whether they plan this or not, politically is in an incredibly good spot because we're ready to like shut down or slow down the immigration, which means companies are going to pay a shit ton of money to find and hire hourly workers, gig workers, et cetera. So they're not even in every state yet. They're going to roll this thing out. They've got money to advertise. I think they're going to go full steam ahead on marketing this thing. The name kind of sucks, frankly. So they need to market this thing to build a brand around it. But yeah, this is blue skies in part because of the investment, in part because 76 million people in this country are hourly workers. And politically, we're setting this thing up on a silver platter for job and talent to crush the U.S. market. So congratulations, Chad, and calling me out on the show. And congratulations to Job and Talent, who looks like they're going to do really well. What is a question is, there's like, what's up with ZipRecruiter? This is their sweet spot.
Dude, I just told you it's the tech that they're doing.
Yeah, maybe it's the tech. Yeah.
It's the tech.
It's
when you're a worker and you can just literally, you can go in and you can pick your shifts and you can, and you can even go to another warehouse. Or if you're a nurse and you want to get some more money at the hospital down the road, you can do that. You can't do that shit with ZipRecruiter.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I know that Levin and his people are looking at this kind of stuff
Levin talk.
You guys are hot into tech. So talk about this, man.
Your thoughts on job and talent.
It's really easy. I mean, they're just lying. It's not true. I don't believe it. I mean, they're not making $450 million in the US. That's all fake news.
Really?
I don't know. I can't imagine, in fact. But but seriously, I mean, if that's true, then and of course it's true. I'm sure it's true, but that's pretty spectacular. But I wonder, did they buy a company in the US? Did they didn't start from scratch? I can't imagine they built $450 million in 2 years from scratch.
Yes. I mean, they've been acquiring staffing companies, but I don't think they have like they were in Europe. Like they bought Norway, for God's sakes. We talked about that one show.
Yeah, of course.
But they haven't. But the thing is, rolling those organizations, those staffing organizations into this tech as like their operating system. And we talked about this with job.com. That is the way forward, but job.com fumbled the ball. It seems like these guys might actually know what they're doing.
Yeah, but we looked into them really good and they're not that digital as they claim to be. I mean, it's a charade. They claim to be a digital platform, but behind the scene, there are tons of people actually doing the work. So it's not that digital as... Anyways, $450 million is impressive, and my congratulations to them. And now, next question.
But I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
You don't believe it. Don't believe it.
Okay. Well, next.
No, opposing views on the show, kids.
That's why we do the show and why we have someone like Levin.
I think they bought revenue. They bought revenue. They didn't start using their platform from scratch. They just started from, they had a big investor, and they bought something, and then it's easier. It's never easy, but it's easier.
60% of the time, it works. Every time.
maybe I can sell you on some CultureAmp news. CultureAmp, an employee experience platform, has announced its acquisition of Orgnostic, a Serbian people analytics company. Orgnostics helps enterprise organizations to identify actionable insights from sources of people data. The acquisition will allow CultureAmp to integrate Orgnostics data engineering and people insights into its platform, promising to provide customers with accessible and multi-dimensional people analytics. The product is expected to be available in the second half of 2024. Chad, your thoughts on the Orgnostic acquisition?
Well, unless Job and Talent is buying underneath another company, I don't see any acquisitions since they've come to the United States. Now, on to CultureAmp. I'm looking on Crunchbase. I'm looking on Crunchbase. You had me interested. It was very interesting. Culture Amp. So employee experience matters, but only after companies were smacked in the fucking face with the Great Resignation. Productivity dropped, and overpriced CEOs had to start making excuses to their boards about margins shrinking. Then big data matters after GPUs and processing speeds allowed large language models to start training on massive amounts of data. All of this, you take a look at what they're doing at Culture Amp, much like I think Job and Talent, they've found a wave that nobody was really riding on or even waiting on. And this is around culture. This is around, employee experience, but also performance management and employee development. And those products are necessary because if you are an employee, you got to know what your path is forward. And I think that that's pretty smart. Now, it's a wave, again, that I think is smart to ride. But much like DEIB, I don't believe companies are going to ride this forever. So Culture Amp needs to make some noise and sell to a much bigger player in the talent ecosystem within the next 24 months, because I don't think this wave is going to stick around.
Another one.
Well, first of all, they need to get rid of the Orgnostic brand because it's awful.
That's easy.
Orgnostic needs to go away in the next 6 months for sure. Back to Culture Amp, which... I'm no expert on, but I know that they've been around a while, and I know that they were a very important product when sites didn't talk to each other. Databases right. didn't interact with each other. Everything was disparate, and Culture Amp, everything you did in Culture Amp was in that. Now you have a world where everything talks to each other. You have language models now interacting with each other. So Culture Amp needed something to say, okay, we're going to be your sort of walled garden employee engagement system, your upskilling system. We'll do it all for you. And there are so many more companies now and products and services that put those pieces elsewhere. So Orgnostic, as I understand it, will bring all your ATSs, all your SaaS products together. And now they can bring that data into Culture Amp. So now Culture Amp can start speaking the language of all these other services that are out there. So in theory, it should work really well. Historically, those are pretty hard to pull off. And frankly, if you look at Orgnostic's executive team, it looks like a rock band from the 70s who reunited for like one last tour. So I don't have a lot of faith that this is going to work out. But I know a few people at Culture Amp. They're pretty smart folks. Hopefully they can figure out. On paper, it makes a lot of sense. In practice, I wouldn't put any money on it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. I do have to say, though, we just talked to Jason Corsello over at Acadian.
We did.
And we asked him what was the biggest miss he's had. And he said Culture Amp. I thought that was interesting. That interview is going to come out later, kids. Don't worry.
And that's misses and didn't invest and wished he had. Yeah. Just wanted to make that clear. Leaving your thoughts.
I totally agree with Joel about the name Orgnostic. What's it? Orgnostic.
Orgasmic. Is that what it was? Orgasmic.
Orgnostic. Yeah. It's like agnost, but then orgnost. Anyways, difficult name. It's, they're from Serbia. And Serbia is one of the few European countries I've never been. Which says it all. But I must say, I didn't know Culture Amp. To be honest, I can't say much about these kind of tools because I'm into recruitment, into marketing, digital marketing, but I'm not really familiar with HR analytic platforms. Yeah. That's after the recruitment part, and that's another business. But it's not because I have a lack of knowledge that I don't have an opinion, of course. So I'll be happy to share it. But I checked our Culture Amp website, and they claim we get the employee engagement, performance, and development tools and insights you need to build a category-defining culture. I have no idea what a category-defining culture is, but I think we want one. But I afterwards looked at the Orgnostic approach, and at first I must say I was a bit skeptical. It's like another HR data dashboard, but their generative AI demo is really impressive. It's the best I've seen so far, and it's like they put their own GPT on top of the Power BI HR dashboard, whatever, and then it actually works, and you can ask lots of stupid questions, and it comes up with great answers without the hassle you normally have to go through to gather all the data and put it into charts, etc. It does a great job. So I can imagine if you're a big company and you have lots of data and you need to prepare something for, let's say, board meeting, this is a blessing. This is amazing. And I think this actually is a very good buy. So if this was a buy or sell, I would be happily buying.
Okay.
Question, even as you talk about business intelligence going into a platform like this, as we take a look at like Gemini, and then Google has Looker, which has it's a great way to really visualize data. Do you think this space is going to get commoditized because a company like Google using large language models like Gemini will actually just own it?
Well, you have a few companies able to do it. So you have ChatGPT, OpenAI, you have Gemini, Google, you have all the others. Let's say four or five maybe, which are upstandard now. It will be, how do you call it? Commoditized.
Commoditized, yeah.
Yeah, it's a difficult word. Commoditized sounds good. And you need to use that word more often. Yeah.
Impress your European friends.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm sure. And I'm already building these kind of GPTs for our own usage, but I'm sure if someone who actually knows what he's doing, it's not difficult to make one, but it's probably very difficult to make the best one. So I'm sure we're going to see great commoditations. How do you say it? I'm definitely sure this is a big business and this is one to follow. And actually, the first one I saw which was really convincing was this one. So Orgnostic is a company to follow.
Levin loves orgasm. I mean, Orgnostic.
Yeah, Orgnostics, yes.
What are you doing, Orgastic?
We'll be right back.
Everyone deserves their best job. That's what Fiji stands for. We make a big difference for independent recruiters with the strength of our fast-growing recruiter network. At Fiji, you can be your best self and work for the company you'd like whenever and wherever. We support you with the best digital and online recruitment marketing. We offer professional business development support, recruitment specialist training, and a bit of rebellious network meetings. Let's join strengths and help more professionals find the job they love. Celebrate recruitment and join Fiji at FYGI.NL.
Kebu!
Oh, you know what that means.
Just when you thought Kebu was gone, the conference was over. Oh, no, There it is. All right, leaving. Listeners know that we had your conference recently in Amsterdam. You look like you've recovered nicely. The surveys are in. The opinions are in. Let's talk about the conference. What were your takeaways? What were some of the survey data? What you got?
Okay, what do we have? So maybe the most important number, we sent a survey to the participants. About 30% actually filled in the survey, which is good. And on average, they scored the whole event 82%, which is good. People are pretty critical. Critical, that's the word, right? So 82% is good.
Yeah.
They were whining about the quality of the food, which mostly were the Belgian participants.
That wasn't me.
No, I know. You just ate it all.
I found out Chipotle's not in Amsterdam. Other than that, I was a little upset until I realized that.
Yeah.
So how many people showed up? It was a full house.
570 something. Yeah. Something like that. It was a full house indeed. Yeah.
This thing can grow. I mean, I told you, I think there's no reason why it can't be a lot more people, a lot more sponsors,
but it's your American view. We like it cozy. And I know you think, why don't you make it bigger? And then my question would be, why should I make it bigger? I'm not into it for the money. We're just, it's all show off, you know, thought leadership, but also it's fun. It's sharing knowledge.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But in fact, you're right. If you put some effort in it, this could definitely be bigger. But we're still focusing on the quality of the speakers. And we don't focus on sponsors, for example. I mean, Bullhorn was there, and I think they were pretty happy. And Vonk was there, and some other sponsors. But it's not like I made 5 calls to companies. Would you like to sponsor us?
Yeah.
We're not into it for the business. We're not into organizing conferences to make money. It's about speakers.
So European.
I have the Look House of HR is my main sponsor. So our main sponsor, we're organizing it. So they provide the money I need to get the best speakers. I mean, we could even hire you. cheddar and cheese flying over from the United States to Amsterdam. I know.
And we have a balcony again and everything. Yeah. That was this setup was amazing, by the way. This venue and this setup was amazing. And having KBOO come out after lunch, when everybody just got done eating, you know, you get into the after lunch kind of, you know, sleepy phase. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. Not when KBOO comes out. Oh no.
No. Yeah. KBOO rolls.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who don't know KBOO, and I can imagine some of you never heard about
KBOO
him
at this point.
By now they should. But
favorite son. KBOO.
K-E-B-U, KBOO, synthesizer gods. It's like Vangelis and Jean-Michel Jarre, but better. But anyways, he was there. He gave a big performance. And after the whole Congress, he gave his whole start of the European tour, which is sold out, by the way. But it was fun. Then I'm not going to get into much detail about all the keynotes and what they said. We have a document with the three key takeaways from all speakers. I shared it on LinkedIn. You can find it somewhere. You might have to put some effort in it, but
would you be okay if I gave some of my takeaways?
Sure, definitely.
So the first thing is always the question when we talk about AI automation, people ask, are we in a in for a world with fewer recruiters? And keynotes are very good about dancing around, not saying, no, we'll still need lots of recruiters. And they always look so uncomfortable talking about that. I think that it's okay to come to the realization that the world will need fewer recruiters as we evolve this technology. That doesn't mean recruiters are gone and the ones we have will be kick ass and really, really good at what they do. But the dancing around, we're not going to lose recruiters, I think is just false, and we should stop doing that. The second thing I took away, the comment of people will stop looking for jobs and jobs will start looking for people, or jobs will start finding people. That was one of Borman's takeaways, or my takeaway from his session. That stuck with me. And I think that the thought of a co-pilot, which also came out, I think, in the questioning, the Q&A that Chad and I did with Bill, was that people will have these co-pilots and they will find restaurants for you and they will find the cheapest hotel for you, and they will also potentially find the best job for you. So a world with these co-pilots that do the work, I think, is something that we should keep our eye on. And lastly, Hilke, who we've interviewed on the show, New York Times reporter, talked about bias in AI and the testing that goes on. I mean, she really sort of crystallized or encapsulated exactly the craziness that goes on in some of these tests. I mean, like pushing the space bar and seeing how fast you can do it as some sort of prerequisite to getting hired is really not just dumb. It's also incredibly prejudiced against people that might have disabilities that make it harder for them to push the space bar if they can push it at all in some cases. So to me, that was super eye-opening. But those were a couple takeaways that I had from the conference. Being in Europe, the point of view is refreshing. The way that you look at the world is a little bit different, and that's always refreshing for me as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was convergence. I mean, what we were talking about 10 years in the U.S. was not being talked about in Europe. It felt like two entirely different ecosystems, but today I feel like they are becoming one. And everybody understands that obviously, you know, we have turned into a global economy, but we haven't acted like it. It almost feels like on both sides of the pond that we're starting to see this convergence of what is important and what we're leaning towards. So that was amazing. I just love going to this conference mainly because of that piece, so that we can learn, in this case, you know, from the Dutch that were all around us, but also from the Belgians who took a train in.
And I agree with what you said about Hilke. She said something and she actually proved it, something I always suspected, that most of those HR tools are just full of shit. So they claim they're measuring all kinds of metrics and they give you a score and they do the matching, etc.
Yeah.
It's just bullshit. And she tested it, and a tool measuring or figuring out how your English skills were. she spoke German to it, and she got a 70.5% English. And she confronted the makers of the tool with this ridiculous results. And they said, yeah, but it's about how convincing you sounded even in German, something like that. So that's indeed, that's bullshit. And it's something HR has to be always aware of, that they can be scammed.
Yes.
And they will be. But we have some very interesting, I always like John Norton as well, from a staffing industry analyst. He gave a great presentation about how AI is impacting already our business. And I'm talking about the staffing industry.
Mm-hmm.
Some others were really interesting as well. So even though it's my Congress and I'm probably biased also, and Hilke is constantly telling us not to be biased,
yeah.
But I liked it. It was good. You should be there next year.
Are we doing it in Amsterdam in the same place next year? That's the question. Come
could
on,
be.
Don't tease us.
But Joe will constantly tells me I have to make it bigger, so then we need a bigger location.
Since when do you or anybody listens to me? Jesus.
All I got to say is I'm just happy you didn't punch us both in the face when we went out and we wouldn't stop saying, I ain't leaving.
While drinking Red Bull and Jaeger bombs.
Yeah, and 15 Belgian beers.
Well, let's hope it's not the last soundbite that we hear from KBOO on this show. Everybody, enjoyed it as usual. We out.
We out.
Wow, look at you. You made it through an entire episode of the Chad and Cheese podcast. Or maybe you cheated and fast-forwarded to the end. Either way, there's no doubt you wish you had that time back. Valuable time you could have used to buy a nutritious meal at Taco Bell, enjoy a pour of your favorite whiskey, or just watch big booty Latinas and bug fights on TikTok. No, you hung out with these two chuggleheads instead. Now go take a shower and wash off all the guilt. But save some soap, because you'll be back. Like an awful train wreck, you can't look away. And like Chad's favorite Western, you can't quit them either. We out.
How much do you understand the future of finance? I'm Jim Roos, a top 10 banking influencer and host of the podcast Banking Transformed, where we dive deeply into the rapidly evolving world of banking and financial technology. Join me as I interview industry experts, thought leaders, and innovators as they unravel the latest banking trends, disruptions, and game-changing technologies reshaping the world of finance. Redefine your understanding of the banking ecosystem. Subscribe now to Banking Transformed, available wherever you get your podcasts, and now available on YouTube.